Good morning, everyone. I'm going to do the reading today. There's a whole bunch of seats in here if you guys are too crowded back there. Anyway, if you want to follow along with the reading today, it's from the book of Lamentations, which comes right after the book of Jeremiah, right after the book of Isaiah, page 644 in your Bibles in front of you. If you think you had a hard week, listen up to this. Listen to this guy. I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 1 to 24. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again, the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And that is the word of our God.
Good morning, again. Here I is again. You know, everybody says this, or many people say this too, you know, if you're not consistently sharing or preaching or, I use the word sharing because it takes stress off me, takes pressure off me. I'm not preaching, I'm just gonna share. And, like all of us, we, you know, the Lord is always working on us, right? And he's pursuing us. That song that we just sang, he's pursuing us. And then one of the songs, the second to last song there was, it is his grace pours over us. So his endless grace pours over us. So that's going to be part of the message. But if you know, when you're getting ready or, like, to share this week, it seems like the times I've done that, or even when I'm doing music or something, you know, it seems like so much happens in life and it just really gets full, even fuller than it was before. Like, so it becomes more challenging, right? And to make it happen. So I just have to keep bringing my heart to the Lord about it. And I have to do a lot of actually repenting because I want to resent that, right? Why did I say yes to Ryan? It's real, right? And but the last time I shared about what the Holy Spirit was putting on my heart at that time was just about the many voices in our lives, you know, and in our society, in our culture today. Look at all the voices and what our people are listening to, right? And we would look at some of those things and think, yeah, you're definitely listening to the wrong voice, because what it's producing is we're seeing death and decay and, you know, and despair, right? There's a little bit of that out there. But see, we're made out of the same clay, right? You and me and them, whoever them is. We're all made out of the same clay. We're made by the and created by the same creator. So our condition's no different. So it's how, obviously, how we respond. And of course, you'll hear me say that it's the gift of faith. And those of us that have it, it's of course by his grace we've been saved, right? And so what I'm going to share about is just really this idea and the truths of mercy and grace in our lives. And what also kind of brought this about was, the book of Hebrews has been just really a treasure, you know, to go through, right? And to sit under the teaching. And Ryan did I was really blessed by it. And, but in Hebrews 13, some two verses really stuck and kind of jumped out at me. And they were, it's Hebrews 13:9. And it said, and we just did that a few weeks ago, you know, but it says, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. And then also 13:20, it said, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Those kind of just jumped out at me. But I do like to hear about grace. And I believe it's amazing grace. And as the Lord, as I've gotten older, it just seems, and during my journey, it seems that the Lord has revealed that how much really more a sinner than I am, and how much in need of grace I have. And that can sound like a woe is me thing, but it's just a reality. And it's a blessing. Because grace, right, it says his endless grace pours over us. He lavishes it upon us. He loves us so. And yet, of course, with that comes, to receive grace, you have to admit that you're in need of it and that you're a sinner, right? And apart from Jesus' finished work on the cross of Calvary, we aren't a recipient of grace. But we really work hard at not being one sometimes, don't we? So then with that thought, I'm just kind of going through, here's my thoughts, right? And I'm sharing how my kind of progression, you know, and I'm a shiny nickel guy and so just, you know, hopefully you'll be able to grasp onto something as I'm sharing, because it might not even make sense, you know, to you. But in my, ADHD, in my mind, it makes sense. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you're here and that your Holy Spirit is guiding us. And I pray, Lord, that just as the psalmist said, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So then my mind went to, of course, thinking of God's established, it is good that the heart be established by grace. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Of course, it makes me obviously think God of peace brought our Lord Jesus up from the dead. Well, it's because he died. And then he had to die, and he had to die in the flesh, and he died for us. It was excruciating. God sent him. Jesus took the wrath of God of sin, past, present, and future, on himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Of course, my mind went there. And then it just kind of thought about God's mercy. But it also took me back to Lamentations 3, which was read today. And there was a time when I was really, whatever I was going through at the time, the Lord just had me in Lamentations, you know, in the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations 3 really stuck out at me. And of course, when you read those first 22 verses, 20 verses, before he says this, but this I recall to mind, you know, and I believe that's the Holy Spirit bringing to his mind, you know, and the steadfast love of the Lord, you know, his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, right? But again, to be a recipient of and to acknowledge mercy is to acknowledge the meaning of it. And of course, what's the meaning of you've heard it's kind of a simplified meaning, but mercy is not getting what you deserve, right? And then grace being getting is endless grace poured out, getting what we don't deserve. Almost like a tongue twister. Or a mind bender or something. Didn't take much to bend my mind. But so it made me think of Lamentations 3. And then, of course, when you get to, you've read all these things. I mean, and it says, that he's always using the pronoun he, or, you know, he's talking about God. God has brought those things about. And if we were to read it again, I'm not going to, but if you're listening, it's pretty nasty. It brings despair. It would bring the question, why us? Or wow, or acknowledging that God is disciplining you, and which he was, Judah, and the fall of 586, the fall of Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, and exiled, and they were in exile, and things weren't going well for them. So I guess when I read that, I don't really, I've grown up in a Christian home. I can't really look back and say, wow, I've had this really rough life. But at the time, whether it's kind of self-imposed or whatever was going in my life, that's how I felt in my spirit. And the Holy Spirit brought me to this to remind me again that God is God and I'm not. And we always really are doing and dealing with, and we're always, I think, struggling with this thing of deity. And if you talk with Chuck, you're going to always, and our men's fellowship, it's a sweet thing, but he'll remind us that we're always struggling with our deity, and that's a thing that we're, and it's just started in the garden. You can be like God. And then not only that, but we think, yeah, I'm going to be, whether we think that or not, we're kind of, hey, I'm God. Just like even a discussion, like Mary and I, we have discussions and, we're coming up on 43 years and I can tell you it's by the grace of God that we're still married. And she'll say the same thing. You've probably heard me say that because it's true. People don't believe it because they think, oh, outside things look good and all that. But there's been some really rough years. And I can tell you that I treated Mary, I didn't cherish her. So, when you have these rubbings with your, you only have a rubbing because you think that you're right and that person's wrong. And then all the other things that go along with having a relationship and being one in the flesh that God says that we are. So lots of opportunities to be a recipient of grace. But we have a hard time again with this idea of mercy, because when we don't believe that we really deserve death, that's what comes out of that, is that we're kind of godlike. We're kind of, no, I can do, I'm right, right? And then we know in Judges, it says that's a period when they were doing what was right in their own eyes. And can anybody, anybody that doesn't do, at times, do anything in their right eyes, do something in their right eyes, raise your hand. Yeah. So we do, right? So then, anyway, these are my thoughts. But we came to, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Through his mercies, we're not consumed. That's verse 22. Because his compassions, they fail not. His compassions, they fail not. They, his mercies, are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, your faithfulness. So Jeremiah, this is also his lament, is not only for the people of Judah because of what they're going through, it's personal. You can read that, and that's how I've read it in the past. Just that, wow, he's really going through it. And yet, God in his mercy, and the Holy Spirit bringing that to his mind, this I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Because it seemed really hopeless. Have you guys ever had times where you feel hopeless? Yeah. And we probably know, and family members, and I mean us, but things that, you know, and it's hurtful. It brings sorrow. So we don't have that emotion because we made it up. It's because we're made in his image. He has those emotions. He just has them perfectly and we don't. And then, of course, he's always the answer, right? Well, suffering, when I thought about suffering, here's my, again, how my mind goes through things, boom, boom, boom. And of course, it happens all in, what, milliseconds, you know? But I just want to share a testimony of and I've maybe said this before, my best friend, Jaedok. He was Korean, came here when he was 12 years old from Korea. His dad brought him over here. His dad was a professor at the Seoul, you know, and then came over here and had to earn enough to bring his family and get his family over here. He did. And but Jaedok, I kind of call him a current Job. Because what God allowed in his life, we were best friends, we came to know each other, went to confirmation, he got confirmed, you know, and he didn't grow up in a Christian home, but he came and we got to be friends, and then I was 12, 17, we were in California, and he shared with me after 5 years, because it was really kind of shameful, but he shared with me that they moved here when he was 12, and he was born in 56, and his older brother committed suicide the first year they were here. He didn't share that with me until we knew each other really well, and 5 years later, and he shared that in tears, you know? This is a time we were talking and fellowshipping, but here's that, so that's one thing. And then we both got married about the same year. He got married, and his wife got married 9 months later after Mary and I in 81, I think. Yeah, we got married. And they lost their daughter at birth. And shocking, and Katrina was born 3 days after that. We were both pregnant at the same time and went camping. The girls were out here and went fishing and all that. And then he calls me one day and says, our daughter died. At birth, you know, it's pretty shocking. And then I was in shock, and I said, can you imagine? I said, you're kidding. He said that to him on the phone. It was kind of just a knee-jerk reaction, you know. He said, no, Gary, I'm not kidding. So that was another thing that happened. Then he had a three-year-old son. He ended up having five children. His first daughter died. They had another girl and then a boy. And then they had another boy. And the third boy, he was 3 years old. And they found out he had muscular dystrophy. So muscular dystrophy, you know. And then over all those years, he'd get up about five times a night to make sure that he wasn't going to get any bed sores, right? So he didn't, no rest, no. You know, so he's up five times a night, you know, and then his dad went in and came over here, lived over in the Tri-Cities, came over here to one time, and his dad moved over there. He worked for Puget Power and retired, and he was an electrical engineer, and he came over here and got tested on a Friday at University of Washington. On Monday found a diagnosis that he had liver cancer, and he died Friday. You know? And then he had an 18-month-old daughter, his youngest daughter, and she got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And, you know, we're not seeing each other that often. You know, he's busy with his family, but we connect and talk. And then his dad died at age 76, and his daughter, by God's grace, she's doing well today, you know. But then, you know, after Jaedok passed away 7 years ago in August at 61. From a 50-month battle with stomach cancer. And then 2 years later, his son died of muscular dystrophy, no complications, pneumonia. So we would have conversations, you know, at times, and we would talk about that, you know, and I'd wonder, why, Lord, are you allowing this in his life? I'm sure he thought of that too. But there's suffering, right? We experience suffering. Jeremiah experienced suffering, the people of Judah, and yet we still believe and would say God is merciful, right? I mean, that's what he says. The Holy Spirit, I believe, brought that to his mind. This I recall to mind. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But that's not always easy to say, is it? There's usually a little bit of a journey there to get to that place. I don't know about you, but for me. And but what was cool is about 3 days before he died, he called me, and we would talk to each other, you know, and end up just calling each other. And he goes, you know, and it would happen. He'd call me sometimes, you know, be months, but we were busy with families, right? Each had five kids and life, and it was a weird thing because he'd call, and I was just getting ready to dial his number, and it would happen. He said, "Gary, I was just getting ready to call you," when I'd call him. So there's something that the Lord, it was a Holy Spirit thing, right? But what was neat is that he came to know the Lord. And I remember one time we were sitting in his room, we had a little Bible study, and we were about sophomores, I think, in high school. And I was over at Lake Washington, he was in Bothell. But his dad came to this Bible study, his father, electrical engineer, could speak four languages, was pretty smart. And but he didn't know the Lord. He was a really neat man, but he was sitting at the on the floor while we were kind of on the bed and stuff. He was sitting on the floor and he was just listening, taking it in. And then by God's grace, he accepted Christ, you know, his father, came to know Jesus. It was really special. So right before, J-Doc calls me 3 days before and we have a conversation. He says, "Yeah, I just wanted to tell you I love you." And just for our friendship over these years, it was 48 and a half years we were friends. And his last words were God is faithful. So here's, you know, God used him to remind me of his faithfulness, right? And that even amidst all those things, all those very real trials, God, you know, placed that faith in him, and he just acknowledged how God, faithful God was, you know? So it was a real testimony to me. And yet I'm the one he came to church with, you know, he didn't grow up in a Christian church, but he had such a fervor for the Lord. You know, then when you're thinking about a few years later, about 10 years ago, the Lord had me sit down again. You know, I don't have a hard life. I have a wonderful wife and children, but there's something in me there. I think I was still a little bit rebellious. You know, I was very involved in church and, you know, all those years. But there was a kind of a rebellion in there of God, why are you allowing these? Or why is this happening? You know, even though I wanted to, and I could quote you scripture and that, you know, that's how he works and he's faithful. And again, he is, his mercies are new every morning. But what came to my mind, God had me sit down one morning and read the whole book of Job, 42 chapters. I would never read that much at one time. I don't like to sit down that long. Or that was that then. Actually, I do like to sit down that long now. But he had me sit down and read it, and it, you know, God, again, is God of purpose. So I read through all that, read all the different things. God, you know, Job is a, you know, and I've been a Christian for 50 plus years. And, you know, I wrote on here, I've struggled, or more truthfully, subtly rebelled against what God was allowing, working in and molding of my life. I knew, know, and believed to be true, Romans 8, 28 through 29, where God says, "We know all that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." And, you know, we're all being conformed, right, on this side of glory. You know, we can be saved, born again, but we're still being conformed because we're still in this flesh. We're being conformed, we're being sanctified, right? We're being made holy. We're being made more like him. Grateful for that. In Hebrews 10, I didn't bring my Bible up here. That was weird. Okay, anyway, Hebrews 10 says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. For by one offering, Jesus Christ in the flesh, he has perfected forever, that's 14, he kind of repeats it, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So God had to sit me down. I read the whole book of Job, a day off. And, you know, Job's a wealthy man. He was chosen to be tested by God. You know, Satan claims that Job is only a faithful man because God has blessed him with wealth and a large family. So God agrees to let Satan take everything from him except his life. That doesn't sound very cool. What's the deal? Verse 1 says, Job was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. He was prosperous. It says in verse 3 that this man was the greatest of all people of the East. And then God repeats the same description. He was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. But he allowed, our merciful God allowed all that Job went through, and how people responded to him and his friends, and he allowed that in his life, right? And we don't really get to it. So I'm reading it, and for whatever reason, God, I think I had some sort of special glue or something that glued me to the chair that I was reading this. But when I got to, you know, the end, 40 and 41, God challenges Job, doesn't he? He says, hey, where were you when I was creating the behemoth, when I was creating everything? Who are you to, basically, who are you to question me? And then, you know, also the behemoth and the Leviathan. And verse 11 says, who has preceded me that I should pay him? God's saying, everything under heaven is mine. And so there's a purpose. Again, God's a God of purpose. And he had a purpose for me to be there that day and to read that. So in 42 and verses 5 and 6, Job says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I repent in dust and ashes. That was one of those markers in my walk with the Lord that he broke me again. He has to do it pretty often because I think I'm so stubborn, you know. But that was a breaking for me right there. When I read that, I broke down and could confess with Job, I've heard of you, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I repent in dust and ashes. I agree with you. I agree with your assessment that I'm rebellious or that I'm not accepting that which you have for me to conform me, to sanctify me, to make me more like yourself. And that's his love for us, right? Even though we don't see it as love. You could look at this, Jeremiah, you could look at that and go, wow, that's not very loving. And of course, we hear that all the time. Especially if people talk about the Old Testament. He doesn't sound like a very loving God. Yet as his mercies are new, and of course, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, he reminds us in Isaiah. We're in Romans in the men's group, and wow, it's pretty powerful. And we've been in 5 and 6 yesterday and 5. But just in relation to grace and the free gift that it is, that again, we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. So just what crosses my mind then and what comes to my mind is, isn't it interesting? It says, God says, forgive as you've been forgiven, you know, and we receive grace, and yet, and it says that it's endless. And that it's new every morning, and that it never fails. God is merciful no matter what. So then, of course, I personalize that. I apply it in my life and go, wow, I'm not very merciful sometimes. Just ask my kids. And not very gracious. So then you have to think, well, I'm his. I've been bought with a price, so what's the clog in the pipe? What's the clog in the pipe? It's called sin, right? So Romans 5, 15 through 16 says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense or sin many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So sometimes even people have a hard time receiving God's grace, right? Do you ever have a hard time kind of just really receiving it, agreeing that, because to receive it, to fully embrace it, means that we have to agree that we don't deserve it for it to be grace, right? So we sin, we blow it, we mess up, we think wrong thoughts, we say the wrong thing and say harmful things, or we just how we act to one another. And in James, Jim, I think you brought this up, it's where we just have war. He brings up something about we war against each other, right? And we, you know, and, you know, that's just who we are in our flesh, right? So it says in Hebrews, that again, Hebrews was such a rich treasure of a book, you know, and it says in Hebrews 9:22, we're reminded, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no hope for you and me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no way you and I can experience grace without the shedding of blood. Well, that's, and I think we don't really understand it, or we're kind of grossed out by it in some ways. But without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And then it says in 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We're seeking him, but he, of course, puts in what he wants out of us, right? Because otherwise, we're going to take credit for it, right? It's like the vine and the branch. He says, apart from me, he reminds us in John, right, 15, that he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? You can't do anything for me. And then the other part of that is he has to get the glory. God has to get the glory, or otherwise, we'll take it. Oh, yeah, I am pretty good. God got a good, he got a good deal with me. You know, we don't say that, but we kind of live it by some of our actions, right? And then, of course, and I it made me think, too, there's how my thoughts, you know, bing, 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 bing. But then the disciples asking, it's just my tendency to be a worker or to do works as unto the Lord, and I've kind of I'll earn his favor. And where it's unmerited favor, grace is unmerited favor. You can't earn it, right? But we still try to, and we still do it in the church, right? You know, we still do it. But he says in John 6:28, the disciples asked him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And in 29, Jesus answers and says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. So we can't, without faith, we can't please God, but we really work hard at it. And we're not always very good about extending grace. And I kind of think of it this way, it might not be right, and if it isn't, you guys can come up and scold me. But I think we can't give away something that we haven't been given. And then, of course, that is in Scripture, it says, you know, you can't do, apart from me, you can do nothing. And it says another place, there's nothing that hasn't come from heaven that you have and I have. And when J-Doc died, it came up, I've shared this before, I'm sure, but when J-Doc died, it seems like there was a renewed thing. The Lord said, are you going to be grateful for the life? Are you going to walk in that my mercies are new and that you really don't deserve that, my mercy, but I'm giving it to you because I love you? Are you going to walk in that? And then also be reminded that the very breath you take is from me. So I ask people now, and I've said, I'm sure you said this before because I'm, you know, getting old and Mary's always going, I've already heard that about a million times. And is that I'll ask people, even the people I don't know and stuff, I'll just say, hey, what did you and I do to earn that breath we just took? Really, it's kind of interesting to see people's reaction. They have to think about, hey, we didn't earn the breath we took. Every breath we take is given to us. It's a gift. And so when we acknowledge that, and all this thing about acknowledging there's God, I'm not, God is God and I am not, and but yet he loves us so, and but we do suffer, we go through things, and it's a thing to try to figure out. And it said, but then in Hebrews we also read, you know, he disciplines those whom he loves. So if he doesn't, just know that if we're feeling getting disciplined or we're going through trials, that we can be sure that he loves us, you know, because really he is conforming us to the image of his son. Right? And it's sometimes through trials, right? We hear about the refining fire of the gold, and the dross comes up and it gets skimmed off to purify the gold. And that's what he's doing. And that's a process, right? It's not a one-time deal. That's what sanctification is about. And we don't always live that way. And so, again, journeys of this life, I kind of wrote, you know, it's just that God loves each one of us, and he knows us by name, and he knows how many hairs are on our head, and it's everything that he does for us is customized to you, for you personally. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? How can he even do that? So it does go back, I'm circling back to those, how it started, and just that thought that, and the verses, for it is good that the heart be established, be concreted, be solidified, it be established by grace. And then now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you have peace in your life? Are there ever times when you don't stress? There are a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists in our country. And that's one of the biggest, actually, you talk, and the stress is one of the, even in the Christian realm, even for us, right? We're not exempt from it. The pressures or whatever's coming along and things that we do, but God is the God of peace. And then there's, right, peace by his blood. The only thing that breaks the power of sin and death is the blood of Jesus. Do I totally understand that? No. There's where faith comes in, right? He gave me the gift of faith. I'm so grateful. It's real. And so how, and this idea of repenting, the idea of turning, God says in Isaiah, in Ezekiel 18:32, I've quoted this before, I'm sure, because it's one of my, the guys in the they could probably all tell you all the things that I think at the men's group, because I always say the same thing. We all have our little filters, and we pretty much can pinpoint, we kind of laugh at it, we make fun of each other, which is kind of fun, but we have these filters, right? But to repent, to turn. Isaiah, again, going back to Ezekiel 18:32, and Jesus, God says, I don't desire that any should die, turn and live. He loves us. But we're not going to experience life. We're not going to experience freedom. We're not going to experience the joy without just keep turning. And that's that sanctification process. And of course, Satan's going to come in and go, man, you're a loser. You're a failure. You've been a Christian for 50 plus years. I mean, why are you dealing with potentially the same things? Or why are you thinking those thoughts? Or why are you still the sinner you are? I mean, man, it seems like you'd be way further along than this. I mean, if you were a 50 year and you had a job and you didn't perform, you'd get fired. And yet, there we are. Our flesh doesn't change, but it's been redeemed. It's been cleansed. We've been justified, right? And we're being sanctified. So I do love the verse. It talks about being sanctified, and I love the verse in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. I want to do something here today, and you guys have I need my Bible too, but I want to do something today for us, and I've got slides up that we're going to do this exercise, or just a reading together, and It's we did this years ago. It was my brother-in-law, I think, did it, and I was so blessed by it. And you know, again, you know, I'm sharing a little bit of my journey, but you, each one of us, have a journey with Jesus. And so what I think this is cool is that it's we could put our, you can put your own journey and maybe what you've gone through in the first lines of Psalm 136. So we're going to read Psalm 136 together, and we're going to do it actually in what's called antiphonally. So I'm going to read the first portion, you're going to read the second. And yeah, if you don't like repetition, sorry. It's really, but it's a blessing because, again, his steadfast love endures forever. Yeah, no, it's good. And it's just a reminder, I think, too, as we walk together, as we fellowship together, one of the things that came out in the men's group was we talked about how when Jesus says, right, about walking in the light. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with him, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, it says. So if you turn that around, if we don't walk in the light, if we're not honest with one another, and we're going to sing a song here, that song of broken spirit, which comes from, you know, those words come from David's Psalm 51 prayer of repentance. He was a righteous man, and yet I think he made a few mistakes. He messed up. But I believe that he knew about the grace of God and relied on it. Psalm 136. Did you find that yet or no? Did you? Okay, good. So I'm going to read the first portion. You guys are going to read the second portion. And just kind of think in terms of, too, this is, it goes through, it's sharing the journey of them out of Egypt, right? And Egypt being sin, and your own journey. And if you were to put kind of the different things that have happened and what the Lord's allowed in your life or what you've chosen to do and maybe the wrong thing, but how he's still been merciful and gracious and that his steadfast love endures forever in your life. And you could put that in there too, with this, for his mercy endures forever after each one. So we're going to read this together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. Okay, only 16 more to do. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great things, kings, excuse me, and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, a heritage to Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. So in our lives, in your life, right? Can you agree with that? And we just need to keep coming back to this. Lord, whatever you could list all the things that you've gone through and then just put, for his mercy endures forever. Because it does, even though it's hard. And that's what fellowship is. Sweet fellowship can be so sweet because we share those things with each other. We share our hardships. We share very real pains with each other, and we can pray for one another and walk with each other, acknowledging that God's grace is new today and each day. I'm going to need it tomorrow because I think I'm going to still be a sinner tomorrow. But isn't it amazing? It brings hope. I think it's the word of the cross. I believe that, right? And the word of the cross is the power of God. So Lord, help us to keep hearing that and seeking it for ourselves. Lord, we do thank you for just your word. And thank you for being with us this morning and reminding us of your mercy and grace. And may we just continue to have open hearts, open hands of praise to you, and to hear your voice, even in the midst, and to receive that those things that might be really hard, but to be reminded as Jeremiah was, that your mercies are new every morning, and that great is your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen.